welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program on K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3. Our phone lines are open if you have questions or comments for our expert Larry Glass at 1-800-749-5935. Our Green Country Gardener Program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries, United Rentals, Kelly Banks Tree Service, Peters True Value Hardware. Sharpen your shovels and let's get outside.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles, the Double G. As always, we got Larry Glass in the studio with us. If you have any questions, reach out 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good. Well, you guys are sure good about making it hot right now.
I know. I mean,
yesterday, we weren't used to it. I had to let everybody go home early. They were all just...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I had to pull them around by their ankles to get them to do anything.
So, I know.
Anyway, we gave me a chance to fix my Bobcat. But
hey, you got the important things taken care of.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, a lot of things going on in the garden right now. Now's the time to divide those iris.
All right.
I know I got a bunch of them at home that need to be split up. They're all just getting all crowded up and all that. And if you were to thin them out a little bit, you have better quality flowers and so on. So they're kind of dormant right now, so it'd be a good time to do that. And iris are kind of unique in that respect, really. You really can't do that to other things.
Yeah. So, not now, anyway.
Don't do it. Don't divide your peonies. Just your iris right now.
Just your iris.
Okay, heard that. Anyway, tree trimming can be done right now. I trimmed up some of my trees that are hanging low a little bit around the yard. It makes it hard to mow the grass. You get slapped in the face with a tree branch. So,
ow.
Yeah, so you can do a little
bit. I
wasn't
there before.
Well, you know, that can be dangerous. You could poke out an eye or something out there doing that.
Definitely.
So anyway, you want to trim them up right now. There's some species of trees that you really don't want to trim. Typically, those are the ones that bloom in the spring. The dogwoods have initiated their blossom set at this point, so you don't want to trim them. And some of the other flowering, spring flowering trees and shrubs, you don't want to prune right now at this point.
Right.
Because the new growth is right now is going towards the production of flowers, so you really don't want to do any heavy pruning on those because you're going to miss out next spring. So also you want to cut back your mums to about 8 inches tall. They'll go ahead and branch out and be more floriferous rather than all droopy and hanging over.
Right.
So you need a stockier plant, and they're going to begin differentiating pretty soon too. Here it is. On the downhill slide of the equinox, mm-hmm. Or is that a solstice? It's a solstice, yeah.
Solstice, yeah.
And that's giving the plants a signal to set some blooms.
Yeah.
So anything from forsythias to dogwoods to azaleas, they're saying, hey, guys, it's starting to change. We got to make some flowers, man.
It's time.
It's time, yeah. So you want to get after that on that, too. So cut back your mums, and they'll be stockier and healthier and look prettier also. Make sure to water them, but not excessively.
Okay.
Mid-August is the last time to cut back your mums, of course. You can cut back your spent crepe myrtle blooms if you have any yet. The crepe myrtles are a little bit late this year.
Yeah.
And mine in my front yard hasn't started blooming yet.
I have one in my backyard that uh-huh. hasn't bloomed yet. It's a little red one.
Yeah, the leaves are real nice and shiny and mm-hmm. healthy and all that, but I'm not going to bloom.
So I'm going to be stubborn.
It took a real bad hit in the cold. And
yeah.
Coming back, and it might delay it somewhat. So you'll have a good show of flowers a little bit later on. They're pretty reliable about blooming. So what you really want to do is have a good, healthy plant at this point after you've had all that nasty freeze this last year. And they should put on some blooms pretty soon. Some of them have bloomed. Golly, there's one house. It just stuck in a corner somewhere. Rocks all around it, just totally neglected. Just blooming its little heart out. And it's about as tall as halfway up your knee. And it was really putting on a really big show.
That's cool.
And the one right next to it, just, I'm not going to do anything. So you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, there are some varieties of crepe myrtles, too, that have a better tendency to bloom than some others. So
yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of the deal with that. Also, if you haven't mulched, you do want to mulch right now. It's going to get pretty hot. Looking at the long-range forecast, looks like August is going to be a scorcher and a dry month this year. So
okay. Yeah, mulch would be a good idea then.
Yeah, it does, helps conserve moisture, helps control the weeds. It makes the place look nice too.
Yes.
And saves money. The water's expensive.
Right.
So you might want to consider getting some mulch on the ground. We can deliver that too. We have a bulk mulch.
Bulk mulch.
Bulk mulch. Or get in the bags if you want to carry the bags to the backyard. It's easy. So anyway. And watering also, make sure not to water so consistently. You need to have a drying period between waterings just to keep the fungus in check on the plants.
Right.
Because these plants really are designed to live in a constant wet environment. Unless you're growing cattails or water lilies or something. you want to let it, you need to.
Investing in a pond or a swamp maybe?
You need a bit of a drying period in between. And with all the rain we had, there's I noticed a lot of soil compaction too. Mm-hmm. So it's getting hard. The shovels are starting to bounce off the soil. So the rain usually does bring in a significant amount of compaction in the soil. And you might have to just work the soil up a little bit on the surface around the plant just so it doesn't have this clay seal on the surface.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
And people have been submitting pictures of their root-rotted plants. Mm-hmm. Well, with all the rain, the root system, with lack of oxygen, compaction of the soil, and those would be things like hydrangeas and stuff like that. Their root system has been compromised somewhat. And then it gets hot, and it can't draw up enough water to keep itself cool. And then it overheats, and it collapses.
Right.
So you do want to loosen up that soil a little bit around the plant, just so it can breathe somewhat. And watering is important. The time of day is important when you water also. A lot of people leave their hoses out on the lawn. Yeah, guilty as charged. But
it's me occasionally, yes.
Right, and that sun shines on it, gets the water in that hose really, really hot, uh-huh. Especially if it's on the pavement. So that's why I always tell people to water your plants in the morning.
Gotcha.
Not only is it cooler, you're not in such a big hurry to get it done, but the water comes through the hose, it's cool also. So that's a practice we follow at the nursery when we first turn on our hand watering. Whatever the sprinkler system can't quite get, the hand watering, we have to let it run and just shoot it up in the air, and it'll get cool by the time it hits the ground. So
right.
So if you do have to water in the afternoon, just check the temperature. Because that water gets so hot in those hoses, almost 200 degrees or so, it gets really, really hot. And it can cause an instant collapse of the root system, and the plant just goes kaput.
Could burn your skin, too.
Just right now, yeah. Yeah, it gets hot, yeah.
Right.
So that's why we say water in the morning.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Water in the morning. Always a good idea.
Exactly. If you don't have the opportunity to do a good deep soaking, you might want to get a 5-gallon bucket. They're not that expensive, about $3 or $4. And drill a little hole in the bottom of it and put some water in and let it slowly leak out of the bucket, and it'll get deep watering that way.
Hmm.
Also helps to put a brick in it, because now and then the wind comes up and the bucket will go down the road.
Definitely don't want to lose those buckets.
So that's what I tell people. When you want to slow water your plants, you need a bucket and a brick.
Bucket and a brick.
Bucket and a brick, because that brick will hold it, keep it from rolling down the hill or going down the road when the wind comes up.
How am I ever going to replace this?
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a temporary drip system, and it for your newly planted plants, they can benefit significantly from having a deep watering like that. And who wants to stand out there in the sun all afternoon watering a plant, you know?
Right.
When there's a way you can do it that way. Or you could put a drip system in. That's something we've done in several cases. We like to use the fine mist drips. Mm-hmm. And they're very effective in watering a fairly small area without a lot of pressure.
Right.
And it's pretty simple to do, too.
Gotcha. Yeah. We're talking with Larry Glass on a Green Country Gardener program on this Saturday morning. If you have any questions for Larry about the gardening or your lawn or anything like that, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll take a quick 2-minute break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. Want you to know we have any rental need that you could possibly have at a competitive rate with excellent service. So if you have a project coming up on the weekend that you need a boom for, you need a water pump, a trencher, a mini excavator, we can take care of you. You pay a 1-day price, you keep it the entire weekend, you're not in a rush, it's a great deal. Come see us, give us a chance to take care of you. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals. 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is your plant headquarters with Bartlesville's largest selection of annuals, perennials, shrubs, and trees. While shopping for outside the home, make it a tropical paradise inside with tropical plants. Green Thumb can custom design your landscape, including installation of sprinkler systems, pavers for walkways and patios, making your yard and backyard the oasis you've always dreamed of. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, noon to 5.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car.
Radio gets results.
Radio is there no matter where you are.
Radio gets results. Radio gets results.
Radio.
Radio gets results. That's radio.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. If you have any questions for Larry Glass, you can call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And Larry, during the break, we were talking about butterflies and some butterfly bushes. What can you tell us about that at the nursery?
Well, we do have some butterfly bush at this point, some all different colors and shapes and sizes and so on.
Yeah.
So the butterflies really like them. They attract them and all that. And so you get some monarchs in there. And because we have such a high concentration of them at the nursery, we get a lot of butterflies.
Okay.
So they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
And so we get other critters, too. Somebody was in the greenhouse yesterday, and you heard this big old scream. And she didn't like lizards.
Oh, no.
So we've got little gecko lizards in there.
Yes.
And then
I love geckos.
And then her friend started laughing at her. They were just hooping up, having a good
time. Butterflies and geckos at the nursery.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway... So, butterfly plants, if you want a butterfly garden, you want to maybe pick an entire facade of the house really for that. Mm-hmm. You really have to have a pretty good significant bed to really attract them.
Right.
And because they kind of drift in the wind and without any pattern at all, and you have to be able to see that. And from what I understand, I've read that butterflies can visually detect the flowers, sensitive to that.
That's cool.
So they'll see that and you go, whoop, swoop down.
It's like, finally.
Yeah, chow, yeah.
Hey, Larry, actually, we do have a caller.
Okay, you got a caller? All right.
Good morning. You're at the Green Country Gardener. How can we help you?
Yes, I turned on your program while you were talking about water temperature, and yeah. I have wondered about something. We use a lot of ice, and it melts, and I'm wondering about watering... like my pots and stuff with ice water. Would that damage them?
That's a practice I've personally used for a good number of years and haven't had any problems with using ice. Yeah.
So ice water is not a problem. Great. Thank you very much.
Now, the one thing, though, if it comes out of the refrigerator and it's 0 degrees, then you might want to let it sit out for a little bit. Just so it's not so awful cold when it comes to the plant. It can cause some problems if it's extraordinarily cold.
Okay, so if it still has ice in it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can still put it on as in the form of dehydrated water, if you will. But a lot of times when it comes out of the freezer, it's the temperature is sub-zero of it, and that can cause some issues with some of the plant tissues.
Okay, so I'm kind of confused here. So if I have ice water in it's melted, but part of it still has ice in it.
Well, that's fine.
It's really cold.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's not that cold. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, at home I have an ice maker per se that the ice comes out at right at 32 degrees. It's not really super cold, but in the refrigerator it also has an ice maker, and the temperature of that ice in the ice maker in the refrigerator is sub zero.
Wow.
Yeah. So I let either pour some water over it and dump it out, or just let it rest in a bowl for a little bit till the temperature gets a little closer to freezing rather than sub zero, and then it'll work.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling. Yeah, that was on a Bugs Bunny or a Roadrunner thing where they had dehydrated water and they put out a little pill and big pool of water showed up and they'd stop the coyote or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be Roadrunner.
Roadrunner,
I'm just trying to remember that episode. I think I kind of vaguely remember that episode, yeah. Oh, I love Looney Tunes. I miss them.
Yeah, those classics. But yeah, that's because it melts real slowly and it has a chance to soak into the pot. It works rather well.
Right.
If you have a plant that might be a little sensitive, you might even put it in a cup with a hole in it and let it melt through that into there so it doesn't directly touch the plant.
That'd be a good idea.
Some of the more like things like violets or whatever can really suffer from the cold. So
I'm
not going to bloom. Thank you.
It's not winter yet. What's happening?
So anyway, we're talking about butterfly plants. And a lot of the butterfly weed is used primarily for the butterfly in the larval stage. In other words, we have a tent where we grow butterflies.
Yeah.
And we put a butterfly plant in there and they strip all the leaves off of it. Well, 2 weeks later, it's got more leaves on it. And you just keep more plants in there so that we can feed them. So that's kind of fun. A lot of people had a real good time with that last year, coming in and watching the progress of the butterflies.
Yeah, I'll have to drop by and look at that. That sounds really cool.
Well, it's in the greenhouse now, so it's just outside the door when you go into the greenhouse, and you can see the different stages. Now, the monarch butterflies have they look like something that you really don't want around your plants.
Mm-hmm.
They have lateral rings. Lateral meaning they go around, like if you're belt on, that's a lateral ring, your belt would be if you've got on, and that would be kind of like the similar to what they have, is lateral rings of black, yellow, and white.
Gotcha.
On all along there, and that's the monarch butterfly.
Okay,
so if you see that, don't spray it. There are certain plants they like the milkweed plants and mustard plants and so on. They go after some, things like that. They are a little bit on the picky side, but if you really want to perpetuate the species, you might consider getting some butterfly plants. They really like the annual butterfly plants better than the perennials too. So
okay, yeah, that sounds pretty awesome. And you guys got plenty of those at the nursery.
And also to feed them in the adult stage, we have lantanas and petunias and other kind of things that they're really attracted to.
Okay.
So that's kind of fun. Butterflies are pretty cool.
Petunias are gorgeous.
Now we talk about moles.
Moles. Oh, no.
How to get rid of moles.
And how do we get rid of moles?
I've heard everything from using kitty litter to castor beans to sulfur bombs, even mower exhaust to get rid of them.
How does kitty litter work? I'm curious about that.
I don't know.
You just heard it. Yeah, like there's other methods, trust me.
They've got to be really desperate to try dirty kitty litter. But anyway, the mole is not a rodent. It is an insectivore. It lives on small insects.
Okay.
Earthworms, too. The mole has, of course, a short, velvety fur. We all know that. And a slender snout, small needle-like teeth. Ouch. And no cheek pouches and poorly developed eyes and ears that are not visible. Its limbs are short and spade-like. So these guys are born to dig.
They are.
I think they've had a whole bunch of them to do the channel going underneath the English Channel.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they didn't use a boring machine. No, that was just a
cover.
Gather
them up. And
no, they used all these molds and put these.
There was incentives for it.
Occasionally a mole's presence is a signal of other problems, such as white grubs in the lawn. When this problem is treated, the mole usually tends to feed elsewhere. Now, you can see if you have a mole infestation by digging a square foot in an area in the yard, maybe where the grass might be a little bit on the weak side.
Okay.
For some odd reason, you don't know. You might just get a shovel and dig up a square of grass and see what's happening underground. And a lot of times that could be an infestation of mold. In that square foot, if you have, say, any more than 10 grubworms in there, that's an infestation. I guess between 10 and 5 might be an outbreak, and, you know, 3 or 4 of them is not unusual. But
right.
But still, if you don't have any, well, good deal. Water your yard. But anyway, so if you do have a problem with your yard and you have a lot of molds, you might want to do a survey like that and see how many grubs you might have in the soil.
That sounds like a pretty good plan.
Yeah, when my daughter was young, we did a study like that in the backyard. We dug up a square foot of soil and counted the earthworms in it.
Okay.
So, well, there are about 10 earthworms.
10?
We had a lot of worms in there. And it said, then you multiply this square footage by the entire backyard. You know, 5,000.
Yeah.
There's a lot of earthworms in there. She goes, oh, my God, yeah.
That's a lot of worms, yeah.
Yeah, it's a quick, you know, quick lesson in mathematics and so on. But anyway, she was impressed by that. Mm-hmm. A lot of earthworms.
That is a lot.
So anyway, the moles feed on those, too. You don't want to do away with the earthworms. But you do want to try to get away from the grubs. Now, the grub worms are maturing, turning into June bugs, so there are not very many of them around. So typically we don't have as much of a problem now as we do in the spring. So there are some applications of spinosad, whatnot, that applied at the right time can control grub worm populations. And some granular imidacloprid, which will work pretty good, too. So. Anyway, so if you do have a problem with a lot of molds, chances are you do have a problem with a lot of grub worms.
We're speaking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, here on the Green Country Gardener program. It is 8:30. We'll take our second break, and we'll be right back.
For great bargains of the month, shop Peter's True Value in Dewey. Save on Rubbermaid lightweight aluminum step stool, just $29.99. And keep those insects at bay with Raid Value Packs of 2 cans of ant and roach killer or 2 cans of wasp and hornet killer. Your choice, just $7.99 after a $2 instant in-store rebate. And for cleaning and disinfecting patios, get Clorox 121 ounces outdoor bleach for just $6.49. But only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
You've heard it said, I saw it on the radio.
Well, that's true.
But now the radio can be your computer,
your smartphone,
tablet,
or any internet-connected device.
Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner,
and you won't miss a minute of news, sports, or entertainment.
You can take us with you anywhere in the world. We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion.
Join us weekday mornings for One-on-One with a Professional on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Tune in at 9:30 on the first and third Mondays when Bartlesville Health and Rehab will be in. On the second and fourth Mondays, listen in to hear important information about city government when representatives from the city will be in for City Matters. Tuesday at 9:30, tune in with Dr. Carrie Williams from Med Club Bartlesville for Health Talk. The first Wednesday of the month at 9:30, Green Country Village Senior Living Community will be in to talk about senior living. Join OKM Music on the first Wednesday of the month at 9:45 for information about Bartlesville Entertainment. On the second Wednesday, Regent Bank will be in at 9:30 with financial information. Go one-on-one with Dewey City Manager Kevin Treese at 9:45 on the second Wednesday. Join K1 Car Talk with Dungey's Family of Autos every Thursday morning at 9:45. On Fridays at 9:45, it's Brew and Buzz with Thad Dilbeck. Keep informed with One-on-One with a Professional exclusively on K1.
It's 8:32. We're back with the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday.
Oh, we were going to talk about weed control in the landscape, but let's go ahead and talk about the bagworms.
Not the bagworms.
Yes. The bagworms are coming back with a vengeance this year. Mm-hmm. And golly, I was at a house a couple weeks ago, and it was just covered in them. And we put some BT on it. Bacillus thuringiensis, BT.
BT.
And they were gone. Killed them the next day. Totally gone. And BT is a bacterial culture. And it controls insects in the larval stage. Now, that also incorporates, it doesn't have any selectivity. So other insects on other plants. You don't really don't want to spray the plants that maybe the butterflies are attracted to with the BT.
Right.
Because their larvae when they're really young, can be difficult to distinguish between that one is obnoxious, if you will. But typically the butterflies stay away from the junipers and arborvitaes and things that attract the bagworm, so it's pretty safe to spray on those. Just try to keep it off your flowers and your other weeds and things, just so you don't poison the earthworms and so on.
Yeah.
But anyway, the BT works microbially.
Microbially.
Is that such a word?
At 8:30 in the morning, it makes you wonder.
Makes you wonder, yeah. But anyway, it works through, it's a bacterial culture. And the insect eats it, loses its appetite, and it literally just starves to death. I really think it causes a disease that they get from this BT that causes a paralysis in the digestive tract.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So anyway, so that works to control them. And it's very safe to use for humans and mammals. It doesn't cause us any problems. But you do want to watch for insects that might be adversely affected by it. Unfortunately, though, it doesn't seem to work with grub worms. So,
unfortunately.
Which is that the insect kind of at the larval stage, I guess. I don't know. But anyway.
Right.
So use that if you do have the bagworms. Another one are the tent caterpillars. I've noticed some prominent displays of tent caterpillars sporadically here and there. And if you remember about 5 years ago, we had almost the whole town was defoliated. I mean,
right. They were everywhere.
And if you do have an early outbreak, it's a good time to control it with the BT. It's very, very effective. Very safe to use too. It doesn't. You can get it all over you. It won't hurt you, and it's real safe.
Okay.
So that's rather than pulling, you know, cutting the branches and burning them and all that, and a fire, you just use the BT. It'll control it. Another thing you can use on the tent worms is just Dawn dish soap.
Okay.
If you have a hose in sprayer, it you can calibrate how much material goes into that, and because the dish soap is somewhat viscous, you want to dilute it somewhat. Before a proportional sprayer will control it. So, and then you can just spray it nilly willy up in there, and it'll control them. It works by smothering the insects. The tent worms are pretty good about being controlled by this, because being a surfactant, it will go past the web and get into the insect that way.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But the important thing, that's why I say use a hose and spray. The important thing is just massive quantities of soapy water. You know, put the kids underneath it to give them a bath, I guess, too.
Billy, get over here.
But it's very effective. And I've even killed wasp nests with this stuff, with soapy water before, yeah.
Who knew that soap could have so much power?
Yeah. So does carburetor cleaner, but for wasps.
Okay.
Well, they just go, they drop like a rock with that stuff. So anyway, so soapy water works very good. So for tent worms
and wasps
and but you want to use the BT for the bagworms, because they have to physically eat it
to get that digestive system exactly. Like you were talking about
exactly. So anyway, weed control in the landscape, I notice a lot of people have problems with fatua weed, which is one that has these little scallop leaves on it, little tiny, and they just come up all over the place. Golly, they'll be an inch tall and they're put on seeds and they explode.
Right.
That's how they work. Their little pods just blow up and scatter seeds everywhere. And then they come up and they scatter weeds. And next thing you know, you're covered in the things. And it, I use some pre-emergent control, and it does help keep that under control. I have very little cases of the, I don't remember the common name, but just know it by its Latin name, the fatua.
Fatua.
And it's a really obnoxious weed, and it the leaf is not, it's kind of a flat color, and it's neutral green color, and has little scallops around the edge. And you just pull it up by the handfuls, and got it in 2 weeks. You got more, and then you got more, and you got more. It's just really hard to control. So an insecticide like Dimension does a pretty good job to control, or not insecticide, but a pre-emergent herbicide like Dimension does a good job to control them. Experimented with the Preen. It does a fair job. Preen is basically Treflan, and it does a pretty good job to control this particular weed. So so you might want to use maybe something with a little more muscle.
Larry, we have a caller on the
line.
Okay,
put him on.
Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener.
Hey, Larry.
How can we help you?
Yeah, I just listening to you talk about the bug control a little bit, and I found something that seemed to work well in my garden. It's that diatomaceous earth.
Oh, yes.
It's mixed with another kind of a powder also, but it works wonderful about almost any kind of ants and hard shell bugs.
Right. It ruptures their exoskeleton, and they basically just dry out. So.
Yes, and if you have any problem with, like, fleas, like one time we had a problem with them under our deck, and I got a fogger and just fogged it under the deck. 2 days gone, never came back. Huh. Never done.
Very good.
It's amazing stuff.
I wish it'd work that
anyway,
way.
I just thought I'd mention that.
I wish it'd work that way with flies in the house.
Oh, exactly.
Everybody I've right talked to has got flies in the house. It's a mess. That's why they call them house flies, I guess.
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Diatomaceous earth.
Diatomaceous
earth is a very effective. I just forgot about that one, but it's a good one to use also.
Yes, it is. Very much.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks for calling. So there are a lot of organic remedies like that that are effective in controlling insects.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Okay. Weed control, physical pulling, chemical control, or mulching. Mulching does a lot to control weeds and also does a whole lot to conserve moisture. Chemical control is what it is. Some of the chemicals are actually a weakened form of a sterilant in the soil.
Okay.
So you can overapply. You have to be very careful with chemical weed controls as to the frequency in which and how much is put on a certain area, because it'll just make your soil just barren if you use too much.
Right.
So be very careful about that application. Physical pulling, who wants to do that?
No, thank you.
Not really. Maybe in an emergency or something, you can use it. But there are some ways to control the weeds. And actually just tilling the soil, you know, working it up too, does a lot too to help control the weeds.
Right.
I was at a house this last week. Those weeds are 6 foot tall.
No, thank you.
They were out there in the heat pulling the giant weeds out of this house.
Oh, and my hands are hurting just thinking about that.
Well, I had on gloves too, but nonetheless, man, they can get away from you too. And,
right.
You know, sometimes in a landscape, especially if you got some well-developed plants, they're hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know it till they're, wow, look, what is that? Did you plant that? I didn't. I thought you did. What is that? It's a weed. Oh.
You planted weeds? What?
So anyway,
get out there and get rid of them.
So physical pulling, chemical control, and mulching are good ways to control the weeds.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Larry Glass here on the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. It's 8:41. We'll take another break. We'll be right back with more.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is your plant headquarters with Bartlesville's largest selection of annuals, perennials, shrubs, and trees. While shopping for outside the home, make it a tropical paradise inside with tropical plants. Green Thumb can custom design your landscape, including installation of sprinkler systems, pavers for walkways and patios, making your yard and backyard the oasis you've always dreamed of. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nevada Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, noon to 5.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Drive home informed on K1, the one you trust. News, weather, sports, and markets with Garrett Giles, Max Gross, and Ty Lopez. K1, the one you trust at AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Drive home informed.
After work, I love it.
K1, the one you trust.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. If you have any questions about for Larry Glass, you can reach us at 918-336-1400 or the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. We'd love to hear from you on this Saturday morning. Larry, what else can we tell us about what's happening in the
yard? One shrub I'd kind of like to talk about a little bit is the pyrus plant.
Pyrus.
And right now, this time of year, it's kind of the low ebb as far as appearance of pyrus is concerned. Mm-hmm. That a pyrus is an ericaceous plant.
Ericaceous.
Ericaceous means it likes a low pH.
Okay.
And it has little flowers on them, look like lily of the valley. Mm-hmm. And the leaves on it, the newly emerging leaves, typically exhibit some color, some red color and all that. So they can be very attractive in the landscape. In this neck of the woods, though, I wouldn't want to use pyrus as a mainstay in the landscape. Because mm-hmm. it's kind of marginal, really, as far as it's concerned. There are some very successful ones here in town, though, in certain parts of Woodland Park and areas like that where it's kind of woodsy and the soil happens to be, you know, pretty good.
Right.
So I don't see any of them in Sooner Park.
Right, no.
But anyway, they do like a kind of a sheltered location. And they can be kind of an attractive plant, really. I looked at the appearance of the newly emerging leaves. And it's almost reminiscent of a Nandina or an Obsession Nandina, in that the new leaves are really colored nicely.
Right.
So this is kind of a good plant to have if you have acidic soil, if you have an area where it shelters not a whole lot of light. It makes a good shrub for some little bit of specimen interest. So it's called pyrus.
Pyrus.
Uh-huh. Pyrus japonica. Mm-hmm. And our annual of the week is Angelonia.
Angelonia.
Angelonia is one of the best container plants for hot, sunny spots. Angelonia produces beautiful spikes of mass of red, mauve, purple, pink, blue, and white flowers basically all summer long.
Hmm.
I've got one in my bed up front. It's really turned into a pretty nice plant. A flower.
That does sound pretty nice.
Annual bed up front. And it's just totally neglected. It's got a whole truckload of weeds out of it last week. Anyway, it's a strong performing containers as well as landscape beds and borders. These colorful annuals are also available in a tall, upright, and short, bushy variety, so you can use them in a wide variety of garden settings. So anyway, it's grown here as an annual and in a frost-free area such as zone 9 and 10 and 11, maybe it treated as a perennial plant. And most of them grow between 12 and 18 inches tall. And what I like about them is they're a little different in the landscape. You've got the petunias, which are spread out, and all these other things. But these things kind of spike up a little bit.
Huh.
And they do give you a different form in the landscape. You know, lion form, color, and texture. Well, this gives you a little bit of a different form. Kind of break up maybe a kind of a monotony of shapes and sizes. Well, this puts a little spiky interest in it. So anyway... So you might consider getting some Angelonia on occasionally. You can keep them in top form by feeding the plants every few weeks with a dilute solution of liquid plant fertilizer. Miracle-Gro works very well to keep them going all summer long.
Hmm.
And you want to remove the dead flowers. There's a little bit of work to them, though.
Right.
You got to go in once in a while when you go get the mail. Just stop by Angelonias and pick off the dead blooms. That'll keep them looking nice. They do get a little bit of aphids in warm, humid weather, which can be a problem. And however, aphids are fairly easy to control with the soapy water we talked about earlier.
Right.
So anyway, or even the diatomaceous earth will work. They have a very thin skin, so it should take care of them pretty well. You might consider the Angelonia for just a little different annual, and make good pot plants too.
I'm considering it too. And Larry, we do have a call on line 3 if you want to get to them.
Sure.
Good morning. You're on the Green Country Gardener program. How can we help you?
Larry, how's your heart?
How's my heart?
Have you been to the vascular heart clinic there in Bartlesville?
Not really, no.
Oh, well, they have this crazy little plant with some little lobed leaves, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And they looked almost hosta-esque, only they're smaller.
Yeah.
And they're variegated. They're green, and they're kind of almost a purple and a white. And they, I don't know how else to describe them, but there's a lot of little leaves that come up, and they're about 6-8 inches long.
Yes.
And they're just, yeah.
Okay.
What is it?
That's not the sweet potato vine, is it?
No, no, no. It's, gosh, I'm trying to just think of what to describe it a little better. It's almost like the top of a pineapple, only they're rounded.
Sounds like some form of.
You've got a bunch of them out there in front of this, in front of the heart vascular center there.
Okay.
And I happened to be there the other day, and I thought, man, those are cool looking. What are they?
Does it look anything like a sedum, perhaps?
Oh, I don't know.
Fleshy leaves. There are some sedums that exhibit that appearance.
Oh, really? Well, if you happen to get up by the hospital.
Yeah.
You might take a look at those because they're really cool,
yeah.
And I'd like to really know what they are. But I'll do, you know, I probably should have taken a picture of it.
Cool.
But just right outside the doorway, mm-hmm. When you go in, I end up there more than I'd like to. But, yeah, right outside the door there.
Yeah.
And they've got, like, 50 of them planted out there, and they're really cool looking, but...
Huh. Okay. There's that, and there's also some euphorbias that look similar to that are planted as an annual, too. So
yeah, it's almost like an iris or a daylily or something like that where the fronds just come up from the ground, you know?
Uh-huh.
Only they're lobed, and they're variegated, and no flowers that I can see, no stalks or flowers that I've seen as of yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they grow straight from the ground, these lobed flowers, almost like a hosta, only without the stems.
Hmm, interesting.
Am I making any sense?
Sure. Well, anyway, you might, if you got time, perhaps snap a picture of it and bring it by the nursery.
And, I'll do it. I'll
some
do
of
it.
There can probably identify that. That way we know what it is. We can get you something, probably.
Exactly. All right. Well, anyway, bud, have a great day.
Anyway, my doctor said my heart's just fine.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay.
Have a blessed rest of your day.
All right. See you now.
We wouldn't know what to do without you, Larry.
Oh, well, I try.
Y'all be good.
You too. Okay, thank you now.
You're listening to the Green Country Gardener. I think we'll take another break, Larry. We'll be right back.
The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Fifth Avenue in New York City was built in 1893. Constructed in the German Renaissance style, the hotel had 450 guest rooms and another 100 rooms for staff and servants. After merging with their next-door neighbor, the Astoria Hotel, in 1897, the hotel had 1,300 rooms, making it the largest hotel in the world at the time. The Empire Room at the hotel was the largest and most lavishly decorated room in the Waldorf, and quickly became one of the finest restaurants in New York City. From the beginning, the Waldorf was the must-stay place for foreign dignitaries from around the world. Some of those guests were the leaders of China, the Prince of Siam, the Grand Duchess of Russia, and many others. Andrew Carnegie was a regular guest at the hotel, and the Waldorf Astoria Bar became a favorite haunt from many of the financial elite such as Diamond Jim Brady, Buffalo Bill Cody, and Bat Masterson. In short, anyone who was anyone in the world of politics, society, business, or entertainment wanted to be seen at the Waldorf. It truly was the world's hotel. Following the tragic sinking of the Titanic, the Waldorf Hotel was the official site for the inquiry that was performed by the United States Senate into the disaster. With this backdrop, Our very own Frank Phillips was a major player at the Waldorf. In 1929, a private corporation was formed by Uncle Frank, and he became part owner of the Waldorf. Later that year, they sold the buildings and the land to a corporation named Empire State, Inc. Their plan was to demolish the hotel, which they did, and build the Empire State Building in that location. In July of 1929, prior to the demolition, Frank Phillips inspected the hotel and paid particular attention to four handsome chandeliers which hung in the tap room of the hotel. When the hotel was gutted in preparation for the demolition, Frank was given those ornate lights. He promptly shipped them to Oklahoma and had them hung in the great living room of the Willow Rock Lodge, where they illuminated family gatherings, business meetings, cocktail parties, poker games, and many other social events. Whenever asked by guests about the lights, Frank liked to joke and say they were all that he got out of his investment, calling them his million-dollar chandeliers and declaring them the most expensive in the country. The magic of New York City and the Waldorf Astoria from 1893 is still part of the lodge today and the wonderful history of Willow Rock. That same magic still exists. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
I'm Dave Hunziker, and you've got the Bruins, Cardinals, Cowboys, and more on K1, AM 1400, and FM 93.3.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. Got a few minutes left here in the show on this Saturday. If you have any last-minute questions you'd like to ask Larry, feel free to call us at 918-336-1400 and 1-800-749-5936. Our hearts are doing just fine here in the studio.
Getting on. Anyway, lawns, watch water when it shows some stress. When your grass starts to look a little peaked. And if you look at it at an angle in the afternoon, you can see areas where the grass is noticeably darker than other areas. And that's the leaves curling inwards to try to reduce transpiration a little bit. That's an indication that the ground is dry. So you might want to kick on the water when that happens. And it doesn't hurt it to be under stress a little bit.
Right.
My yard, I watered it like twice this year. And golly, I see people's sprinkler systems running in the rain, you know.
Like, what good does that do?
I can't wait to see their water bill. But anyway, right now I wouldn't worry too much about trying to get the Bermuda grass to grow very much. It's kind of slowed down a little bit due to the heat. Now here around, looks like the second week in August or so, it starts to cool down a little bit. We have this temperature curve here, a normal temperature curve. And we're at the end of July, 1st of August, is the absolute peak temperature-wise. And this little gray line over here shows us well below that. Actually, we've been kind of flatlined for about 2 months, really, on the temperature.
Thank goodness,
average,
right?
But which is well below the average, or even the highest. But we're still within the normal range. We've had 29.21 inches of rain at the airport. I know out east of town, we've had about 35 inches of rain.
Wow.
Because we had that big old gully washer come through last week.
Yeah.
I had to put pontoons on the truck to get over here. Golly, that was crazy.
Play on a pontoon.
But anyway, so we're okay on the rain. We're ahead on the rain about 5 inches right now. So that's pretty cool to be in that kind of position. So there's good deep water. The trees are healthy, and they have deep roots that go way down to that good deep water, so I wouldn't worry about watering your trees too much.
Right.
The shallow stuff you want to be concerned about, maybe the grass and all that. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a good idea to water, put a bit of time between when the watering is done. That helps your roots develop a deep root system.
Which is good.
Your grass, rather, to develop a deep root system. And it can tolerate periods of drought a lot better if it has more of a root system. If you water every day, there's no reason for the grass to go down deep, number one. Number two, there's so much moisture down there that the soil is lack of oxygen, I guess.
Right. You can't breathe.
Yeah, it can't breathe. It's compacted and it's anaerobic is the word I was trying to come up with. Somewhat anaerobic, and the roots won't go into that. So you've got all your roots at a shallow zone when you water very frequently.
Right.
And that can cause more problems. So typically you want to water when it really needs it. Now we do our irrigation systems. We put in timers that tap into the weather service. And you set it and all that, and then basically set it and forget it, and it works really well.
Yeah. So it'd be nice to forget something,
you just,
right?
You just need a good internet connection, a good, reliable, steady internet connection, and the Android phones work better than the Apple phones on it. So
that's good. We'll get an Android upgrade today.
So there are some other, you know, other ones that we use, and I need to explore those and get with the customer and see what kind of phone they have before it's select time or something.
This isn't going to work.
There's smart sprinkler systems and there's dumb sprinkler systems. So they've tried the technology with soil moisture sensors, but the corrosion is so bad on those that they just don't last very long. And they're kind of expensive and people can't see the value in that.
Right.
So now we've gone to ones that have rain sensors on them, which is pretty good. It does a good job of shutting it down. And you have dry out periods between shutdowns on the weather sensors. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can extend the time when the timer restores operation.
Right.
And get those that tie into the National Weather Service. That's the way to go. I mean, I don't have to set the time on it or anything. I just tell it what kind of soil it has, what you're trying to grow, what kind of sprinklers you have. And it takes care of all that. And just everything looks fine. I don't have to worry about it.
It's a smart sprinkler.
Smart sprinkler, yeah. And they've come out with a new one, too, that actually, they call it the water printer. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah. It's a good one to have. Anyway, at the nursery gallery, we've got all kinds of color right now. We're exhibiting some colors, some good hanging baskets. The crepe myrtles are really popping open. Mm-hmm. We planted a great big one yesterday, and we got a lot of little crepe myrtles, too. So come on out and check out all the color at the nursery. And we also do landscaping and irrigation systems and retaining walls. And keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K2.